And I was with a few engineers in Google, the guy who runs the search quality team, and some of these other people. I had to sign these NDAs. I spent 3 days with engineers in Google.
Unlock the secret sauce of millionaire entrepreneurs. This is your exclusive VIP pass to the hidden world of the ultra successful business owners. I'm Chad Kaderi, CEO of DashClicks, and welcome to Behind the Revenue. What's going on, everybody? We are on another episode of Behind the Revenue with the famous, the man himself, Dennis Yu. Dennis, I know I've been following your journey for quite a while now. I've known you. You've been on past podcasts and webinars with us. Mm-hmm. Dennis, just for the viewers, what is it that you're doing right now? And what type of business are you running? I know you're doing Blitz Metrics, right? If I'm not mistaken, still at Blitz Metrics?
Well, that's a lot of stuff there, but the main thing is we're helping home service businesses become more Googleable. So the idea of, are you Googleable?
Now, Googleable can mean different things. Is this SEO, or are you running Google Ads, or are you doing a little bit of everything?
If you're a plumber in Dallas, you want to show up on Google. So whether it's in the map results or videos or social media or your personal brand or People Also Ask or YouTube or ranking in the regular, you know, search results, like there's how many different ways can you show up on Google? Yep. Do you even know? Most people don't know.
Well, I mean, I've been doing SEO for a long time. I stopped doing SEO a couple of years ago, but I know Google pretty much owns the world. So obviously they own YouTube. So any videos on YouTube are going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Any articles, search results, images, all the socials and videos from the socials and stuff like that, tweets come up on. So a bunch of stuff. Why don't you tell me this? And I'm curious, as I want to dive deeper into this. So would you consider yourself an SEO agency? A brand?
No, agency? No. I think SEO is dead, but I think Google's never been stronger.
It's never been strong.
To do SEO is, I think, a scam. And I believe I can credibly say that because I am a search engine engineer. Built the analytics at a search engine 20 some years ago. That search engine was called Yahoo. And a lot of the people I train went to Google. So I have a very different view than all these SEO experts, because my job was to protect the search results from people like you that were trying to manipulate them, right?
So no backlinks, no keyword stuffing, no location pages. No.
Do you think you fool me? All the different tricks and your PBNs and the way that you hide things and the minus 50 and the gray text and all that stuff and buying links and going to Fiverr. Do you really think me as a search engine can't see that?
True. Very true. So what's the new SEO strategy? What is it? There's got to be a way to get ranked online, right? There's people are doing it every day. So how do you do it?
Here it is. It's this simple, but people don't do it. And you probably have never heard this definition. It is to show Google and the community that you actually do the thing that you say that you do. So if you are a drain cleaner in Fountain Valley, Arizona, you should actually show pictures of your technicians, videos of your technicians in Fountain Valley cleaning and driving around and going from place to place. You should show the owner and their favorite restaurant and the other companies that they work with, like these plumbers, they're friends with the roofers and the landscapers and the HOAs and like all these other sorts of people. Show Google beyond a doubt that you do the thing that you say that you do in the city that you do. And then when you put that on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and your GMB and your website and Quora, Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, TikTok, Snapchat, then you are showing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have corroborating evidence that you do the thing that you say that you do. And it just happens to be that if you do that, then that generates real backlinks from other people in your vertical or in your geo. Ooh, I like that. Show that you're a plumber because you went to this conference in Chicago that all the plumbers got together at. And you take pictures and you hang out and you learn from other master plumbers and learn from Service Titan and the other people that serve the industry and in your city. So if you're in Fountain Valley, which is next to Scottsdale, you talk about how you're hanging out at the Nordstrom in Scottsdale and seeing all the cougars and how dangerous that is, right? Or your favorite place to have steak, or how your kids grew up here and you go to Fountain Valley High School or whatever it is, right? You're showing that you do the thing in the city that you do. That's simple.
What do you say to people that that are scared of social, because a lot of like my parents is an example.
Yeah.
They won't touch social media. My mom just got on Facebook. My mom's 70 right. something years old. There's sure. a lot of companies that are owned, especially uh-huh. in the service industry, that yeah. are owned by elderly folks, right?
Uh-huh.
50 plus, right?
Sure. I'm elderly. I'm turning 50 this year.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm getting my AARP card. I'm old.
You're technical. You're savvy. You're in the mix, right? There's a lot of people that are not. Is that what your service provides? You basically help those people.
So, do you think that your 70 something year old geriatric mom should be dancing on TikTok?
No.
And let's just say that, you know, she was an electrician, just for sake of argument. Sure. Should she be dancing on TikTok?
No.
And should she be making short form videos or things like that? No. Should she try to become no. Gary Vaynerchuk and no. make 100 videos a day? No. But any of us that for business do a certain thing, we need to have proof that we do it. Now, here's the difference. If you actually show that you do the thing, and you have videos like on my cell phone. Here, let me show you an example. So yesterday, I was with a guy who's a pool cleaner in Henderson. And here's all these videos of him walking around these pools. You see this? He's actually doing this thing. Now he's like, we're cleaning the pool pump. This is the jacuzzi. Oh, now we're going to drive over this part of town. And this is a gated community. Oh, and this pool is nasty. So we're just following him around, driving around in the car. He's explaining what he's doing. He's explaining how he's licensed and all that kind of stuff. He's showing that he does what he does. That video is captured once on my cell phone. Then all of it can be repurposed into TikTok and Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, website. Gotcha. You only have to make the content once. We're not making content for Facebook. We're not making content for the website. We're making content once.
Viral. You're not trying to create specifically, because
this pool guy, he's old, right? This guy might be in his 60s. Do you think he's going to, like, should he do anything to try to be cool on social media? No, he needs to literally do the thing that he does. He's got that net thing that's like with the long pole, and he's scraping, pulling the leaves out of the pool, and he's hiring other people. He just hired 3 technicians last month, and they're going around on the different routes and cleaning the pools. And all they're doing is showing, Chad, that they do the thing that they say they do.
Gotcha.
He's not doing it for social media. In fact, he's not even mentioning, hey, what's up, Facebook? Is your pool dirty? I'm going to come clean your house for a first-time special for only $49.
Like, no ads, nothing. Just
no. Pure I'm just saying, hey, Adam, how did you become a pool cleaner? He says, well, I got started because of this, this, and that. And so, Adam, the name of your pool company is Big George's Pool Cleaning. And you have a dog here, which I'm assuming is Big George. Like, how did you come up with the idea of Big George? Well, Big George is my dog, you know, blah, 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 the whole story about the dog. And so we're just having a conversation. He and I are having a conversation. Yeah. He's not looking into the camera. He and I are just having a chat. And then one of our young adults is on the side. We're not even looking at the camera. One of the adults is on the side, and they're just recording it. Yep. On cell phone video, as if like you were there just kind of standing with us as we were talking. You were part of our conversation.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I know by doing that definitely builds major, major brand credibility, trust, rapport. Like, so if somebody is going to use them, if they are going to use them, that stuff helps tremendously.
Yeah. Because then they can say, you know what? Wait, that house they were showing, that's just 2 blocks from where I am. Or that restaurant, that Mexican restaurant they had lunch at, I drive by that place every day.
So you mainly focus on local businesses, right? You're not dealing with SEO or not SEO, but this type of service on a national level?
Sure. I mean, we've done it for Quiznos, Starbucks, Allstate Insurance. Some of these guys have thousands of locations. But like there's one that has the smoothie chain, and they have 90-something locations.
And you're basically doing this strategy, but that location is the one that's taking videos and those things.
Yeah. Do you think I'm personally going to every single one of their stores and every one of those neighborhoods? No. What we do, we have the people at the front desk. You know, the Stephanie, the bubbly 22-year-old, and she's making. What kind of smoothie do you want today, Chad? Do you want your regular blueberry acai smoothie with the extra protein powder? You know, and so you do the order, and so we're just having them film. What they're doing, we're just documenting behind the scenes. What is a day like in a customer's life or in the life of one of their technicians as they go about and doing the thing that they do in the city that they do? And then all that stuff gets captured across all the locations. Now, do you think that HVAC technician knows how to edit videos and mess with websites?
Not
and no, but Can a young adult capture this stuff on the cell phone, upload that centrally to our library, and then we've got an army of VAs from the Philippines and Pakistan using AI software, using tools that we've built. So it's not all AI and it's not all VAs. It's the smart mix of both. And then all that kind of stuff gets processed in what we call the content factory. And then we run ads against it. What do you know?
Now you're talking some of my language here that I want to dive deeper into, because I know you said AI, it's a trending topic. There's a lot going on about it. I'm personally using it, but I have found it, at least in the video creation space, because I've tried things like HeyGen and, you know, Opus, and I tried VidIQ was another one I tried last night. There's a couple of the softwares that I've personally used. HeyGen, I'll stick with this one for a second because it's more of not just like splitting up clips using AI.
Sure.
It's more of it's a complete different technology, right? It's like facial recognition. And like, there's a lot that goes into it.
Right. Generates the avatar, streaming avatar, all that. Yeah.
I don't think it's there yet.
It's close.
For an account. It's close.
6 months away. Yeah.
There you go.
They have mail merging. They just announced that last week. Yeah, that's great.
So close. I literally said it. I said it on a podcast also. I was talking with somebody else also, and we were talking about this specific topic, and I said 6 to 12. I was actually speaking with Kevin Anson, and he does a lot of videos for ClickFunnels and stuff like that. And I flat out asked him, I was like, are you scared that AI is going to take over video in the next 6 to 12 months? Like, are you scared of your business? Like, is that going to affect you? Are people just going to upload their stuff into HeyGen and all these other softwares and create, like, look, text to video just came out recently. Right.
Yep.
I think it was called Sora. Is that what it was?
Sora.
Called?
Yeah.
Sora. Like, it's going to happen. It's we're very close. But HeyGen. So going back to the story to HeyGen, I used HeyGen, created a bunch of videos. I even created a love note to my wife, which was really funny, that I posted on social. My goal for me was I create the ads for our company DashClicks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to create the ads for our company DashClicks. It's very time tedious.
A human shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, it's a waste of your time.
It's not fun. I have other things to do. I don't want to sit in front of the camera and record videos all day.
Yep.
So my goal with HeyGen was, cool, let me create an avatar. I did. Let me fine tune it and pay an extra $75 a month or whatever it was.
Sure.
I did. Right. Hey, real quick, if you're a marketing agency or a B2B service or software provider, DashClicks offers white label fulfillment services and software to businesses just like yourself. Go ahead and create your free DashClicks account. I went ahead and left a link in the show notes, or you could just go to dashclicks.com. Let me go to ChatGPT and create prompt structure so I can then take the script and just load it up. So I don't even have to create the script.
All that.
Right.
Tools make it easier to get stuff out, for sure. You don't have to be in front of the camera for that. Absolutely. All those are great.
Yeah. And then I exported it and it wasn't there. I personally couldn't use it for ads because I felt that people knew it wasn't real. So it almost seemed like impersonal. Right. And that's why I'm saying that I just don't think it's there yet. And I think when it gets there, I'm dying to use it. I am dying to use it.
Yeah. Well, HeyGen is great to be able to show your face in a streaming studio like way like this, the mail merge where it says, hey, Dennis, how is your San Diego carpet cleaning business? I noticed that you had 72 visits to your GMB last week. Like, that can do that. And it can actually do it to the point where it looks real. For sure.
It does look real. Don't get me wrong. For anybody
But that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, does it satisfy Google standards of are you Googleable, right? EEAT for the SEO people. Okay. So if you are that pool cleaner in Henderson, Nevada, we want to see that you're actually out at these different pools and you're scraping the leaves out and you're adding chlorine. You're out like moving around. So HeyGen doesn't do that. But you know what? I've seen a couple tools in the last couple of weeks. I'm not allowed to say who they are. But these are walk and talk videos where it looks very close to these people that are actually doing things. And then they have it where they have multiple people that are involved. And this is not the Sora thing. This is like if you and I were to hang out in Miami and eat steak at my favorite Brazilian place, it's not quite ready to make it look like you and I are sitting down and we're slicing the meat and eating. Like, it's not there. The AI will be there by the end of the year. But even then, that won't be enough to be able to fool Google. Even if it looks really good and it fools humans, you know why?
Why?
Because you have to show that you actually do the thing that you say you do in the city that you do. And if there's not real reviews, if those aren't real technicians of yours that are fixing the broken pipe or whatever it is, no amount of auto generation and editing and AI and 4K and whatever is going to overcome the fact that you don't start from the actual experience. So if you start from the actual experience, then think of all these AI tools as really just lots and lots of really smart VAs. That's the way I view it. I view this as more VAs.
What's an AI tool that you're using right now that you can talk about that you like?
Descript. Descript is a Swiss Army knife of video because it started out as a podcasting tool. It was started by the founder of Groupon, believe it or not. The dude who did all these coupons, Adam, in Chicago. And he came out with this podcasting tool, and then they added video to it, and then they started adding all these things. If you go to their homepage, you'll see me on it. And it shows how like Overdub is able to put words in your mouth and sounds pretty good, change the tone of it. You can, like, for example, I could be reading a script like this and my eyes are looking down, but then it'll create eye contact. So while I'm looking down, it'll look like I'm actually looking in the camera. Yep. It'll get rid of ums and ahs. There's all like all the kind of stuff you would want as a video editor that you would do in Premiere Pro and After Effects. And anyway, I don't want to list all the features, but the point.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with Descript. I've used it before too.
But the point is that these are all video editing tools and they start from the source of real experience. Now, where things like HeyGen and these other sorts of avatar-driven tools are, they're starting from, you know, I give this tool the permission to use my name and voice and blah, blah, blah. And so it will generate what's called synthetic content.
Gotcha.
So, and there's nothing wrong. I see nothing wrong with synthetic content. I don't see people being penalized for using synthetic content, but if you create synthetic content, because let's say that, actually, I don't have this thing here, but I'll often film in the studio and I'll put on post-it notes a list of 100 things that I want to do. We're doing a course on whatever, and I don't want to sit in the studio for 3 hours and record chapter 3. We're going to talk about how to get a knowledge panel. For a knowledge panel, you need to have the entity home, and the entity home requires blah, 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 blah. And next, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about that. I don't want to do that because there's no value add in doing it. Because I already have all that. I already have these. Look, Chad, I already have these freaking manuals of pages and pages of all the SOPs and how we do everything. So do I want to sit here and narrate all that? No, the AI can narrate it as me. Yeah, and there's nothing unethical about that.
Yeah, that's perfect. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing.
It's a waste of my time to do that. But the one thing I can't do, this is the thing everyone's going to miss. I think you're missing it too. The AI doesn't replace that you have actually achieved success in the real world. If you've done that, the AI can take your content, repurpose it. It's like having a million VAs creating any kind of derivative content that you want, including your name and lips saying whatever you want. But if you didn't actually do the thing, then what's the AI going to do? Lie?
I think there's going to be a lot of issues as AI gets crazier and crazier with trust. I think AI
it all goes back to trust. Now you're wondering, like, did Trump really say that? Did Biden really fall down the stairs? I don't know. Maybe he did. Is he really that senile? I don't know. I mean, it seems like he did sort of like freeze up like a robot. I don't know.
The Sora thing for me, that was like, I kind of knew it was coming. You feel these things like,
sure,
you know, they're coming, right? But when you see it, like, it's insane. And I remember I was scrolling through, I think, like, TikTok or Instagram reels or something like that. And somebody was talking about it. That's how I found out about it. Like, it was like the day after it came out. Mm-hmm. And they were basically showing how right now it can create up to a 1 minute video that's text to speech. And it's like Pixar quality. And in my
It's using a diffusion model, and it's very realistic looking, but there's all kinds of things wrong. You can read all the blogs where people are talking about where it's missing and where it is cool. Yeah. And we could spend hours talking about that.
I haven't used it personally, so I'm not sure, but I do know that in the next 6, 12, 18 months, whatever it is, it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Right?
And of course.
That's the scary part, because now you're wiping out a whole nother. I feel like AI is literally wiping out industries.
It's wiping out bad marketers. It's wiping out spammers.
Cool. Okay.
I love AI tools because
I love it too,
like,
don't get me wrong.
I listen, but not because they're cool. I teach on AI all over the world. I'm going to be the keynote speaker in affiliate world in a week in Dubai. in front of 150,000 people teaching people how to use AI tools for SEO. So if anybody's supposed to know, I would think it'd be me because I'm teaching on that. But here's why I'm bullish. And it's not because look at all the cool stuff and now, you know, Gemini Pro 1.5 takes a million tokens and GPT 4.5 only has, you know, 128,000 tokens. Like, yeah, I can talk about that, but here's what the main thing is. Here's the thing that people don't understand. When you really do have the trust and you have done the thing that you say you do, AI is a multiplier. It helps the rich get richer. For example, in a week when I'm on stage in Dubai, I'm bringing Dan Henry on stage. Dan Henry is super well known in the digital marketing space. And he and I are going to make 1 minute videos together on stage in front of thousands of people. And these other people are going to make 1 minute videos of us and put that on their social. And that's going to create so much proof that no matter how many deep fake tools you have, it'll never overcome the fact that Dan Henry and I were on stage together in Dubai and that he and I are sharing that we've been friends for years and talking about some of our best techniques to use these tools and close and whatnot. I'm trying to generate a signal so strong that no amount of AI tools can replicate the real experience. So I was with Roger Wakefield last week in Dallas. He's the plumber who sold his company for $40 million and also is the best known plumber on the planet. All the plumbers know who he is. He's what we call a lighthouse. And he and I are eating steak. We are with Del, the founder of Del Frisco, probably the most famous steakhouse guy on the planet. Like the guy himself, like he's named after, you know, you ever, it's like having lunch with Gordon Ramsay. His name is, I mean, the name on the restaurant, that's the guy.
His
right?
name is Del Frisco?
His name is Del. He's the guy who started Del Frisco. I mean, you know, it's a big steak chain and he started other steak chains too. Bob's Steakhouse, that was his, right? Anyway, I love eating steak. But the point is, I want everyone to do this and think about this. Don't get all caught up in the noise of all these cool AI tools. You'll just be like distracted all the time. Here's the thing. I am creating indelible evidence that I am friends with these people. And I'm capturing it on video. I'm putting it on social media. I'm tying it together by linking together our knowledge panels and websites in such a way that I'm trying to show so much proof and trust because I know the coming tidal wave of AI is going to wipe out all the shitty marketers. Yeah, and I'm excited about that. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Because they're just going to, they think that they can get away with using these AI tools to generate all this fake stuff. In the same way, they have gotten away by buying links, for example, and that has worked, yes, in low competition markets, but it's only going to last so long. And every time Google does a house cleaning, all these people are screaming and crying because they've been using spammy techniques. I never use spammy techniques, so I'm never afraid of the latest Google updates.
Yep, agreed. Yeah, white hat everything.
Yeah, and I was with a few engineers in Google, the guy who runs the search quality team and some of these other people. I had to sign these NDAs. I spent 3 days with engineers in Google. Okay. And this is some, this was a month and a half ago.
Okay. So it's recent.
Yeah. And I basically, now without like violating anything that would get me in trouble, I basically said, so you can see all these people are using these AI tools to generate all sorts of nonsense, right? The world is being astroturfed with all this fake content that's just being generated. Especially, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can write a million blog posts all in once, right? In one click, right? What do you think about that? And they said, we can detect it. We can tell if it's ChatGPT. We can tell if it's this other thing. And I said, but why aren't you doing anything about it? And this is what really pissed me off. They said, well, even though they're using these AI tools, it's not exactly unhelpful content. So people that are using it just to trick Google, yes, that's against the guidelines. But if it still is marginally helpful, if it's like an editor that's like helping tune your content for grammar and readability and whatnot, then that actually can help you. But once everyone is doing that, the advantage goes away. And so I said, that's probably the thing that's going to wipe out people. It's not that Google's penalizing you for using AI tools. It's that everyone's content is already being helped in the same way. So how do you stand out?
Yeah, I feel like especially AI with content tools, you can see it with companies like Jasper. You know, they were the first ones into the market, and I don't know how well they're doing now in business. They were like a unicorn. They were skyrocketing.
Well, they raised all the money, and they literally did it a few days before OpenAI launched. So we were very, very lucky with the timing.
Yeah,
I'm friends with Dave and Austin and those other guys, so I know. Because I remember when they did the toolbar thing before they started that office, which is right above Voodoo Donut in Austin.
Yep. They got in right in time. We used
very lucky.
Very lucky.
They got sued by Disney because it was called Jarvis before, right?
Yeah, and then they had to switch it to Jasper.
And before that, it was another tool. They had another name for it, right? They changed the name three times.
Wow.
Anyway.
And are they still with the company?
Yeah. They raised a ton of money, took some cash off the table.
Good.
They've been releasing new features, although I believe that any of these third-party tools have a very limited lifespan because the AI tools by definition are moving to generic intelligence, like general intelligence where it can do everything. And now it's a matter of plugins, not standalone tools.
Got you.
Everything's like WordPress. It's a plug-in driven market, right?
Yep. Well, very true. Well, I think when Jasper first came out, it was the wow factor because nobody had really seen it like that in the format with the templates and stuff that they were creating.
Yeah.
Right.
I had an OpenAI license 3 years ago. I had it before Jasper launched, and I was playing with it. It was very hard to use.
Yeah, us too.
And the tokens were too expensive, and it was slow, all that stuff. It was really just for copywriting.
It's crazy how much AI is evolving, and it's evolving so fast. It's at like a super rapid pace where you almost can't keep up with it. Like for us at DashClix, like we have thoughts of creating these, you know, AI tools and integrating them into DashClix.
Don't.
Like, dude, the second we think about it, it's like, oh, somebody's already launched it, and there's like 30 other companies doing the same thing, and it's within like days. It's
yeah. I would never try to compete in that space.
Yeah, it's crazy. But well, would you, or what if all your competitors are also integrating AI into their softwares?
Everyone's integrating AI. We're integrating AI in all our processes. I'm friends with the founders of a lot of these AI tools. But, you know, the whole skate to where the puck is going, play chess multiple steps ahead. Rather than like beat the people that try to generate more fake video or whatever it is, what's the thing that you can do that's a competitive advantage? Guess what? It's as simple as serving your customers better. I don't care whose tool it is.
Very true.
I'll use any combination of tools. I use everybody's tools. We built our own tools. And when other people have tools that are better than ours, I feel sad because I've invested millions in building various tools, you know, because we needed it. But when someone else has a better tool, like Descript has a better tool than our thing, I'm like, well, I guess I pissed away all this money, but I'm going to use this tool because it's going to help us serve our customers better.
Yep. I like that. So where do you see having that talk with the guys over at Google? I'm sure at some point they're going to do something about it. There's going to be a Google update.
They said they will, but they wouldn't mention when, and they wouldn't mention when their generative results are going to be the default, right? Because you know the whole generative AI, you know, all the Gemini stuff. And you can see like now you have a choice. Sometimes it'll say like, do you want the regular search? Or you want the generative AI? Like knowledge panels, like when you look at generative AI, those are basically dynamic knowledge panels, right? For the people that know something about SEO. And Google won't say when. They even said, like Danny Sullivan, who's the search liaison before, you know, he was the Google guy. He said that it's still in test and we don't know when we're going to roll it out because it's only in the US and Australia, I think. Or no, it's not even in Australia. It's only in a couple places. I'm not worried about that. I'm pretty sure they will roll it out. I'm pretty sure that knowledge panels will be the default answer in Google. And then when people are doing voice search or they're wearing goggles or whatever the thing is, it's going to be a different realm of trying to rank to be Googleable. But I don't see Google going away. I don't see OpenAI killing them or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. What do you think about, because I like this AI topic. What do you think about voice AI? And I know they just released like an FTC notice, I think, not FTC. Was it FTC? I forgot the name, the acronym for the company. But anyways, like Air.ai as an example. I went, I tried it. It doesn't sound real. There are companies. I know Jeff, if I'm not mistaken. Is it Jeff or what's his name?
Jeff Hunter?
Jeez, I'm going blank. Jeff Hunter. Thank you. Yeah, Jeff Hunter is promoting a company that also does an alternative to Air AI. I think it's called TalkBoss or something like that. And you see them all day, you know, posting videos of, you know, having conversations with these. And they they sound very real, right?
Yeah.
They sound very real, but what,
still too much of a delay, but it's close. Yeah,
there is the delay there. Yeah, but it's close, and it. I don't see that. I don't see the government allowing. They already released notices that. I don't think it's because it's very similar, like robocalling, right? And robocalling has been banned.
Yes, but that's outbound calling. What now? Think of it this way: this is just an extension of when you call a number, it says press one for this, press two for that, press three if you want to talk to an operator.
Different context.
It's the context. It's not that they're using AI. So voicemail menus and the Microsoft paperclip. Oh, it looks like you're opening a Word document and writing a resume. Can I help you with that? There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is if you're deceiving people or if you're interrupting people. So I'm getting tons of garbage DMs on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. These bots are saying, would you like to generate another 10,000 leads and be really influential and have a million followers? And it'll say like, Dennis, I really admire what you've been doing with the Content Factory and how you've been doing digital marketing for 30 years. I would love to book a call with you for 15 minutes and explore how we can work together. And so the AIs are now generating images and even voice that sound believable that is under the name of whoever it is. So there's a friend of mine and his name is Angus. I won't say his last name, but he's reasonably well known in online marketing and he does coaching. And he used a bot to just do cold outreach, but it sort of personalized. And then I replied with voice. Because that's what I love to do to these bots. I reply with, here, I'll just literally show you.
So you're saying you get like a DM or a message, like a written message, and then you reply back with voice.
Yeah.
Like a voice
Here's what we do. So where is it here? Why is it not showing up here? I thought it was here.
And basically when you reply back, you know.
Here it is. Yeah. Okay. So here's this whole conversation, right? And based on how it's written, like it's written so well, you're like, this is, I don't know if you're real or not. So you can't really tell. I mean, what do you say to the bot? Or if you don't know who it is, if it's a bot or not, what do you say to determine if they're real or not? And this is what I do. I reply with voice. This is what I did last night with this this one guy. And this is what happened.
Hey, is this actually Ben or is this a VA?
Or a bot. And then he replied.
Yo, what's up? It's Ben. Thank you, man.
So I thought,
is that
okay,
real?
That I think it's real.
At this point, I still don't know because there's some crazy stuff out. I don't even.
But it's like all the ones asking you for money. Hey, I'm stranded at the airport in Nigeria. Can you please send money to this thing? Yeah. Like, reply back with the name of that. Tell me about what did when we had lunch last time. What was it that you ordered? Do you remember? Right, I always ask those kinds of questions, right? Because I'm always like, I'll send you money, but you have to first prove that, you know, whatever.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about the use case. Because you know why? I didn't think about the use case of it being for inbound mainly. Mm-hmm. Because I see everyone only using it for outbound. Like
right.
The majority of the people that I see on the web, all the marketers, right? All the marketers are mainly using it for outbound, trying to book appointments and book leads. That's what they're doing it for. And it's trending right now. There's companies that are opening lead generation companies that are literally just using.
They're spamming.
That. Yeah, that's exactly what
they're just spamming. Whatever you want to call it, they're spamming.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. But
I'm a big fan of inbound. You know how many phone calls I make? You know how many cold emails I send? And like, I've got the clients of the clients, the best clients you've ever, you know, in the world of digital. How many, like, hey, let's hop on a 15-minute discovery call. Do you think I did to get like a Nike or a Rosetta Stone or Starbucks or whatever?
Yeah, never.
Zero. Yeah, never. What I do is I speak at conferences. I write articles. We get referrals. How do you think we got Nike? It's because of the work we did for Adidas at the Olympics. And they're in the same town, so they talk to each other. And the folks at Nike said, hey, we saw what you did in Adidas. Can you meet with us? Because we want to talk about this new shoe campaign we have. Like, love to. Can you give me some free shoes? Yeah. So it's based on trust. Everything's based on trust. The funny thing is, like, every time I hear these AI people talk about, oh, look at this tool and look at that tool and look at that, I'll say, yeah, but are you leveraging trust, actual trust? Or are you just looking at some cool tool that will try to fake whatever it is? And if it's fake stuff, look, I'm an engineer. So if anybody should be interested and know how this, all the latest stuff is, it would be me. But I don't give a crap about that.
You actually,
and it's worked for me for 30 years. Am I like outdated? I feel like I'm ahead of most people. Yet I'm saying I'm a very old fashioned kind of person. And I think that old fashioned values are going to win when it's all this AI this and AI that.
Yeah. You changed my perception on a lot of things during this call, which is for the better.
Do you want to chase the squirrel thing? Like all the other people that are freaking chasing the red ball. Do you really want to play that game?
Wow. How, and I want to know more about the calling for inbound. How are you seeing people use it for inbound? Like what context are they using it for?
Well, inbound means that you have reputation and you've shared something. Like, for example, Perry Marshall and I have the number one best-selling book on social media on Amazon. It happens to be on TikTok. And he and I have the best-selling book in Facebook ads and Google ads. It's on my shelf here. See, he and I, yep. There's a lot of trust here. So if you know about Google ads, then you know about Perry Marshall, who's the OG who started the whole industry of Google ads off of his training, right? Number one for Google ads, then in the Facebook ads, and now in the TikTok. And so we're leveraging his trust. So when this book is out, well, it is out. It's the best selling, it shows story after story of success on TikTok. And it's all driven by the relationship. So I only have like 3,000 followers on TikTok. I think I have like 40,000 likes on TikTok. I'm nobody. But I've interviewed the top TikTokers and asked them to share what their techniques are. And I found that there's commonality between all the things that these guys said. And so we digested them into core concepts. And then we linked back to those Zoom calls, those, 45-minute Zoom calls. We turned to a chapter each. So it's definitive. It's authoritative. It's based on real experience. And it's not dependent upon me. What I'm doing, Chad, and anyone else listening, is I'm leveraging the authority of other people by having co-created long-form video content that shows beyond a doubt that we were with these other people and they are sharing how they achieved a certain piece of success, which then causes people to reach out to me and to Perry saying, hey, I read your book on TikTok. Do you think TikTok will work for my business? And I'll say, well, you saw in the book, if you have this, this, and this, then you can put it into the machine. Just like if you have this, this, and this, you can put it into the Facebook machine and it'll just amplify what you already have, right? It's the same thing. So inbound is people come to you because you shared how you achieved a certain result and they want that same result. They fit that category person, which is XYZ. I help X achieve Y via Z. I help this particular kind of company with this particular kind of problem achieve this particular kind of result via this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 step checklist. And so when you publish that out there, people who fit that category of X, you know what? I'm just like that plumber. I'm a plumber in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm a plumber in Denver, Colorado. I saw what you did for this other plumber. And you tune their LSA and you rank better on Google. Like, uh-huh. And this is how you did. You made their phone ring more. And how do you do it? This whole checklist. So if you publish what you do for that particular niche, doing the thing that you say you do. This is true for all agencies. If you serve, veterinarians, you're this guy, Brandon, and you serve veterinarians, and you have lots of examples of how veterinarians have been winning, not because it's a sales pitch or testimonials, but you actually show, here's how we do it. You publish it. Here's exactly how I do it. Here's how I hire VAs. Here's how I set up my landing pages. Here's the templates that I use on WordPress. Here's everything. Here's how I use DashClicks. Here's how I audit these two. Here's like everything, all of my knowledge. Here it is. That will drive more veterinarians to Brandon, right?
100%.
My buddy Caleb is one of the top sellers of life insurance in the world. The guy's 29, maybe, I don't know, something like that. And he's literally been interviewing all the top people in the world of life insurance in this particular aspect of life insurance called infinite banking, basically. Like you put money above the policy so you can use it as an investment vehicle. And he's interviewed the top people in the world on that. And so people who are wealthy and have just sold their company or they got out of a divorce or they like something, they just came into like all this cash and they want to not pay taxes on it or whatever. They come to him to be able to put it inside life insurance. Why? Because he shared exactly how he's done it for lots and lots and lots of people. He's the keynote speaker at NAFA, which is the big insurance financial association. Like all these guys are members of this one thing. He's their main speaker, right? That drives inbound. So when you are very clear on X, Y, and Z, I help X achieve Y via Z, all the people in that category of X will come to you. right?
So what I've taken from our conversation, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, personal brand and personal everything, I think, and videos and content and experiences, right, and all that stuff, that will always be here. That will never change, right? You can't really change a human experience, right?
People do business with people.
Exactly, 100%. Do you think, saying that, do you think that AI could possibly be just a trend that's happening in
maybe the technology is always getting – no. Technology is always advancing, right? Okay. Even Google said last year, because people are saying, oh, Google's going to penalize everyone who's even using AI in any sort of aspect. And Google said, there have always been tools that come along that allow you to do your job better. Why would we discourage that? Now, there is a lot of hype around AI, but AI is not a fad. Just like, you know, the cell phone is not a fad, or people using Gmail instead of postcards, you know? No, but I'm not all hyped up about Gmail. Oh, Gmail's so good. Gmail's way better than having to lick stamps and write letters. Well, yeah, it is, but I'm not all hyped about it. So the fact that you use Gmail and you send emails, or you use Vendasta or High Level or whatever your favorite tools are, it's not the hype of it. Like, do I say like, hey, Chad, I'm an expert at using Gmail. No, it's just like, we use it. I know CallRail better than anybody else. There's secrets to how to use CallRail for call tracking.
I just track calls, dude. I don't.
Dude, it's a thing that you do, but I'm an expert in CallRail. Yeah, good for you. So that's how these tools are becoming. It'll soon be like that, right?
Yeah.
It'll just be taken for granted. Like, imagine the iPhone just came out. And it was super cool. And you wanted to show everyone that you had the iPhone. Like, you know, it's hard to get. You got to wait in line, right?
I remember when I first got the iPhone, the first iPhone.
Yeah, it was like super statusy. You know, it was like super cool because you had one and the other people didn't have one, right? So you want to show it off, and it had this whole vibe factor. But now, like, you see other people, like, even homeless people have iPhones.
Yeah.
So true. The fact that they're all, like, the hype is because of the novelty. But when it becomes common practice, so when you use this thing to call your friend, it somehow talks to a satellite up in space and goes back down to Earth and it facilitates this communication. And that's a magical sort of thing, isn't it? There's some crazy magic that has to happen to be able to talk to the satellites in space. But are we like, oh, the cell phone talks to the satellites in space? No, you just press the button. It's an incoming call. You answer it. You never even think about the fact that there's all this magic that happens, right? Using the AI tools, we're talking to it. It's like, hey, go order me, a baby back ribs from Chili. And it does it. And you're not even going to think twice about it, right? Right now, it's like, oh, yeah, I can use the AI and it can order baby back ribs from Chili's. Yeah, I could still, like, right now, I got to go into the app, into DoorDash, and click on the thing and order it, and it'll say the guy's coming in 23 minutes. But now I can speak it, and it'll, like, figure it out and say, okay, Dennis, it's going to be $23, okay? And like, okay, yeah, do it. All it is doing the same thing that I've already been doing anyway. It's just made it more efficient. So why would people be all hyped up over getting the existing thing done faster?
I think people like seeing new things. Like, going back to the Jasper example, it was new.
Yeah.
Right? It was new, especially to people that are not developers that didn't really know about, like, OpenAI and stuff like that, right? So that was a new thing, and it was – like, if you looked at their ads would get thousands and thousands of
– I know. Austin ran the same ads. He was spending $1.2 million every month.
Yeah.
Austin Disto. And I told Austin, because he's their head of marketing, I said, Austin, dude, I've been hit with that same ad like 90 times. Aren't you going to, like, change it out? I'm sure it's burnt out by now on frequency.
Probably.
Yeah. But he said, dude, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's working so well, and I'm on vacation that I'll just let it keep running. I'm like, all right, more power to you. I mean, you raised all the VC money. Of course you can do that. You and Dave, you got that office in downtown that's got like almost nobody in it, but you kept it anyway because you're making so much money because you have they made the Proof toolbar. Remember?
We use Proof. It's on our Dashworks website.
Yeah, that was the first time they became a client of ours, which is like 10 years ago.
Oh.
But who cares about the hype? Cut away the fluff. Yeah. Talk about look at where actual value is being created. And then you won't be distracted by all this chasing the red ball nonsense.
Yeah. I like that you said that it's just a tool and it just helps you do things better and more efficient. And I think that people are not thinking about it like that. At least I also wasn't thinking about it like that. It was just like cool thing.
Just get off the hype train.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, I have a different.
The sales bros would have you believe that it's all about the latest tool because they make money selling that nonsense. I look at real business owners who are using tools to drive real value. Like I look at when the ordinary plumber is using these tools to be able to book calls through ServiceTitan and dispatch technicians through their route management system, that's when I'm going to sit up and pay attention. Until then, it's just hype.
Yeah. What's your favorite tool that you use? Not AI related, just in general.
It's one that almost nobody uses.
What is it?
My number one tool is Boomerang for Gmail, which is a plugin in Chrome. And I answer 800 plus emails a day, which is crazy because the number of messages that come in. And I know there's like different techniques and you have a VA, executive assistant, whatever. But the way I never lose track of a single message or a follow-up, because, you know, like maybe I'll send a note. Like I sent a note to one of your guys, Chad, on the last two podcasts that I did that never got turned into articles, or I never got the video from it or whatever it was. I don't think he works for you anymore. And I said, hey, so-and-so, where's the video that we did on the DashClicks podcast? And he didn't get back to me, but I didn't have to remember to follow up. What I did was when I sent the message, I hit the box saying, return that email to me, check only if he doesn't reply within. And then I checked 4 days.
Oh, right.
So then it comes back to me saying, so-and-so didn't reply to your email. And then that's when I reply saying, hey, where is it? Like, or did you do the thing? Or you say it in a nice way, of course, right? Yeah.
I'll give you that podcast, by the way. I think the person that interviewed you, Daniel, might have been his name. Yeah, he doesn't work anymore. So if you emailed him, probably went to a dead email.
Yeah.
Which probably is also not a good idea. But we will get you that podcast and this podcast too.
No, I wasn't using that as a way to like hammer you. I use it as a way to, I never lose track of anything because instead of me having to remember or use folders and tagging systems and all that, no one has time for that, right? I just have the system remember for me based on the level of importance and when I need it by. So I normally set a Boomerang for a week. And some things where it's like, I don't want to deal, I know in 3 months from now, I need to work on this other thing. So I'll set it to Boomerang for me. Or turn it into a calendar appointment. So that way I never lose track of stuff and I always know what the priority is.
I'm going to have to check that out. All right. This is a lot to take in. This was a fun conversation. Probably one of my favorite podcasts that we've shot so far. I know we're running out of time here. Dennis, if anybody wants to reach out to you or work with you, where's the best place to reach
out? Google me.
Google him.
And you'll see a whole knowledge panel pop up and then you can choose whatever your favorite place is on there.
Love it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Dennis, thank you for your time. We appreciate you, and I'm sure we'll have you on here in the near future.
Awesome, Chad. Appreciate you.
Hey, do you want more of the Behind the Revenue podcast? Look, join our private Facebook group where marketing agencies from all over the world are sharing strategies, network, and scale their businesses together. Visit facebook.com/groups/DashClicks to get instant access. And also, if this podcast helped you in any way, please do me a favor, share it with friends, leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. That really helps build our community.